Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back. Droid Life Show today, episode 112 on a Thursday of all days. It is Thursday, June 16th. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Kellen. With me, Tim. Tim, say hi.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Tim here.
So it's been a wild week and a half around these parts. I took off on vacation, and Tim was stuck like covering all sorts of crazy stuff. So Moto Z Force, Droid Edition things, Lenovo event all happened last Thursday. Tim was there for the event, covered that. We'll get into that soon. OnePlus 3 was announced this week on Tuesday. We do have one of those in-house. We'll talk lots about that. We got an Android N new preview yesterday. WWDC went down. There's T-Mobile Tuesdays and things like that now. There's a lot. Oh, I even have a Galaxy S7 active because that was announced a week or so ago. So there is a lot to talk about. So again, thanks for joining us on this Thursday. We're going to try to get through it, hopefully not take up your entire day. So I think we should start with the Moto stuff. I mean, in the end, you know, we got our start with Moto, Motorola phones, and people still, even though Motorola is like gone like up and down over the years, we still get excited when they have stuff, even though they're owned by Lenovo now. It is what it is. But Moto Z and Moto Z Force and Moto Z Force Droid Edition and Moto Z Droid Edition,
yeah,
whatever. Okay, so we knew these were coming. You know, there was a handful of leaks, not a lot of leaks, but there was a handful. We figured they were going to be called the Moto Z. Moto Z Force, though, did kind of come out of nowhere. Remember, we thought it was getting Moto Z, Moto Z Play, and then Droid Editions. But the Moto Z Force thing kind of came out of nowhere. So anyways, Motorola announced these at an event last Thursday. It was a Lenovo event. And they showed off sort of what we thought we were going to get, right? Really, really thin phones with giant hockey puck camera bulges on their backs. But they're modular, and so you can slap on modules from like designer battery packs, JBL speakers, wood style shells, or whatever the hell we're calling them, to give it some flair. So you get that sort of Moto Maker feel still. And you know, they're spec'd out. They got all the high end specs you could ask for. The phones are also insanely thin. One of them is, what's the Moto Z, like 5-point-something millimeters thin? It's crazy.
5.2 millimeters.
That's nuts. I mean, the OnePlus 3, which we'll talk about in a second, is like 7-point-something, and it's really thin. To shave off another couple of millimeters there is crazy. So you've got Moto Z, which is the really, really skinny flagship, and then you've got Moto Z Force, which is still a skinny flagship, but it has a bigger battery. And oh, and it has a better camera. That's right. So the Moto Z has a 13 megapixel camera and the Moto Z Force has a 21 megapixel camera. And that's pretty much it in terms of the differences. The, right?
Shatter shield display on the Z Force.
That's right. So the Z Force has the next gen version of shatter shield. So it's a shatter resistant display. And so that's it, right? So that's the difference. Battery, camera, shatter shield, pretty much, right? Yep. The rest is Snapdragon 820 processor, 3264 gig storage, micro SD support. They both have 5.5-inch AMOLED quad HD panels with Gorilla Glass. Well, we might not have Gorilla Glass, I guess, on the Force. They have turbocharging, water repellent coatings, fingerprint sensors. Just running through the specs.
You got it all.
Yeah.
In terms of the differences.
Yeah, so those are the differences. But they're high in terms of being high end for right now. They've got it all, I would say, right? No headphone jacks, which is kind of a first for an Android phone, right? No
for headphone. A lot of phones.
Yeah, so USB Type C port on the bottom, and the phones in the box will come with a USB C 2 3.5 millimeter adapter, so you can still attach your headphones. But this is also them sort of preparing for what we think is going to be a wave of USB Type-C headphones, potentially. We already know JBL's making some, but Motorola and some of their partners or whoever else. I mean, headphone makers in general, I think, are going to start doing Lightning and Type-C headphones. So that's it. Again, we got modules and some are battery packs. We got a speaker. We got a Pico projector. and then all the style stuff. So God, there was a lot. I guess before we get into your impressions, because you've played with all of these things, let's talk about the Droid Edition stuff for a second. So we got two phones, Moto Z, Moto Z Force. Verizon landed an exclusive on them for a summer launch. And we think August, but I don't know that we've actually heard that. For some reason, I've got August on my brain. I don't know if I heard somebody say that or what at the event. But anyway, we're thinking, anyway, it's summer. So the Moto Z, Moto Z Force are coming to Verizon as Droid Editions exclusively for, could be a month, could be 2 months, probably about a month. And then once that exclusivity lifts, the Moto Z alone will then be available as an unlocked GSM phone. The Moto Z Force is sticking with Verizon as an exclusive, at least in the States. I would imagine the Moto Z Force could show up overseas or something like that. But in the US, it's exclusive. So if you wanted the Moto Z or Force, you can only buy them on Verizon initially. And then a month or two or whatever later, you can only then get the Moto Z, and it's GSM only. It's not like the Moto X Pure that worked on everything. So it's really terrible. And we can talk more about that later, but that's sort of the situation. We don't know pricing on the phones anyway. So, all right, you were there. You were there during the unveiling. You watched it. Was there excitement? You got your hands on each. Did you want like one over the other? Like, so I was on vacation when this all went down. So like, you and I haven't even really talked about, I mean, we've talked a little bit about this, but like, I want to know, like, did they feel awesome in hand? Do you want them? What's up with the modules? Did you like how that worked? I've seen some of your videos and stuff, like, cause you did like four or five, or I don't know, you did a whole bunch of videos on this stuff. So anyways, like you, I just spoke for a long time, but you actually held them all. So you just go.
I'll go. All right, so where do I begin? So during the announcements, of course, the announcements themselves during the Lenovo launch were hysterical. Lenovo CEO and then Ashton, sorry, my phone went off. Everything was so scripted that it was really funny, especially Ashton. And Ashton was talking like 50% louder than everyone else in the building. And so everything came off as really forced, and he had this like Steve Jobs mannerism going on the whole time. It was really bad. I was there hanging out with a few guys that we know from other sites, and we were all just laughing together. And it's sort of, you know, you don't want to draw attention to yourself or anything, but it's too funny not to laugh, dude. Here's Ashton Kutcher talking about modularity in smartphones. I was getting a kick out of it. Anyway, so moving on to the phones themselves, at least for me, the Moto Z Force was the one that really kind of struck a chord with me more so than the Moto Z Force. And that's because, so the Shatter Shield display on the Moto Z Force, it's similar to what we saw last year on the, I believe it was the Turbo 2,
yeah,
which has the Shatter Shield. And I didn't really like it. It's almost as if it's a bit more kind of sticky or something, or there's a lot of layer between the display and your finger itself. Like, for example, when you're playing with a 7 Edge, and you're looking at the display, you know, it's as if you're touching the display itself. There's no glass in between, but there's a little bit of a layering. And so for me, not the biggest fan, but the Moto Z 5.2 millimeters, I don't think I've ever held a phone really that was like that thin.
And that's, it's crazy, yeah.
It's like, you don't think it's going to be that much thinner. I mean, how thin could it possibly be? But 5.2 millimeters, it's ridiculous, dude. I mean, you kind of hold it up and you're just like, there's nothing there except you see the hockey puck, right? The Moto 360 smartwatch display on the back kind of bulging out. But, you know, in hand, it looks really cool. The colors really pop. There's that black and gold, and it looks fantastic. You know, we saw this phone, I think it was back in like December or January. And it was like, it was just the back of it. And I think there was a few people claiming it was like the next Nexus phone or some weird thing. And we said, no, not possible. But apparently it was just these new Moto Z Forces leaked way, way ahead before even
crazy.
Yeah, knew it was coming. So the back when that happens, I wasn't really feeling the design. I was like, oh, it's sort of odd looking, but now it's totally grown on me. You know, the only downside with being so thin is that battery, 2600 milliamp hour, but you know, it does have the turbo charging. So really that shouldn't be too much of a problem.
Well, and then you could just slap on like a battery pack, which you're really only adding, you're adding on to the 5.2 millimeters, right? So like you're not even adding that much on, and then it just kind of charges, which is crazy.
Yeah. But then speaking on the mods themselves, very cool. I mean, they just work. You know, it's not like the G5 where you feel like you're breaking the phone. You know, I came over to your place and I was trying to, you know, maneuver the module out of the G5, and you're like, ooh, this doesn't sound good, doesn't feel good. These, innovative. All right, they're great. You just slap them on, slap them off, and it's all done with magnets. There's not really any, like, clipping done, so, you know, you never feel like you're going to snap anything or break fragile pieces of plastic or anything like that.
How do they feel? So when you put them on, like, is there any give? You know, like if you're holding it, does it feel like it's sliding around, or they're just like locked in real
good? They are locked in real good. Definitely no squiggly feelings or loose feelings.
Because like the magnets are mostly down at the bottom, right, with the pins? Or are there extra magnets up top that no?
Yeah, as far as I know, I mean, it's possible that a couple of them might be different, like the Pico and the JBL speaker. Those ones felt a bit more secure, I would say, even if I could describe it that way, more secure than, say, the style shells, which are those covers you were talking about earlier, like the wood and the leather. So those feel very secure. I mean, you could hold it by the mod, you know, if you can kind of grip it and just sort of shake it around. There's definitely no, it's not going to be moving around.
That's crazy. I was worried that there would be just this slight like wiggle and it would drive me nuts. And I would think that, like if you picked it up by the module, your phone's just going to drop. But
yeah, definitely not. I spent the most time with the projector, which the display area they gave us was really poorly lit. So, well, actually, it was the exact opposite. It was so lit that you could barely test the projector itself on a white wall with lights on top of it. So you had the projector going. You could barely make out the picture. So I was hoping I could get pictures of it and show off how good the quality might be, but I was unable to do so just because of the lighting. But projector felt really cool, and it's so easy. You know, you just slap it on, then you just long press the button, and boom, it starts projecting. I mean, it just works.
And it just projects just whatever's on your screen, or whatever, is it like an app?
Yeah, whatever's on your screen. And so, say you got YouTube going, you have the video playing, and then you press the projector button, and it just projects. And then same with the JBL speaker. As soon as you attach it, it just starts playing. There's no syncing of Bluetooth or anything like that. It just works. Crazy. So very cool. And, you know, all the Moto mods work on all four of the different variants of the Moto Z. And then going back, let me just say how stupid I think Moto Z, Moto Z Force, and then adding Droid Edition to each one is. I was so confused by the time I left the announcement going to the display area. I was like, okay, so how many phones did they announce? Because on stage, they really only discussed kind of the Z, Z Force, and then mentioned the Moto Z Force Droid Edition. They didn't touch on the Moto Z Droid Edition all too much, so I myself was confused when I was walking in there, but thankfully I got it figured out. And then they had different stations, right? And each station had the different phone, but the signage was wrong. So
you weren't the only one confused. Even the people working this thing as their job were confused.
Yeah, they were confused. And you know, they didn't have full specifications listed at the thing. So, you know, here I am. I don't have time to like try and find the specs for the phone online and then do the video. So there was a lot of different information flying around that room. But in the end, it all worked out great. We still don't even know pricing for the phones. And I think, you know, from what I've seen a lot of hate towards these phones, maybe because, you know, the battery's too small, or, you know, the Moto mods are too expensive or whatever. And, you know, I don't think it's all that bad. I mean, it's definitely different, right? And this is a good way for Moto or Lenovo to differentiate themselves from LG and the modular stuff they're doing. So I think it's a cool thing. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be going out and adopting and buying the $300 projector or an $80 add-on speaker, even though it sounded pretty cool. I just don't see myself doing that personally, especially with other things that were announced. And yeah, I don't. So far, overall, very positive first impression on my part. I had no beef with anything. I tried out the cameras. Cameras felt good, nice and speedy. Although, you take a picture, and then there's kind of like that preview card that comes up, and it covers the shutter button, so you can't keep pressing photos until that preview slides away.
Maybe you can turn that off.
That would be nice. I didn't have time. I didn't have time doing that. But. And then someone asked in the chat, Joe J, asked if there were any software issues. Not that I could tell. You know, we didn't get to spend all that much time diving into the phone, but they were quick and speedy. I mean, Snapdragon 820 and 4 gigs of RAM, I would hope that the home screen was at least speedy. And, you know, diving into the camera and snapping on the mods. I mean, there wasn't any, like, lag, per se.
And I think people were worried that since it's almost becoming really a Lenovo brand at this point, the software was still their sort of basic pure Android, and with like Moto Display and all that stuff, they didn't really change, right? It's still that sort of stock Android look that we like.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. The only thing that looked, I guess, out of the ordinary was this clock widget that they had on the Droid editions. Other than that, oh, and Verizon bloat, of course.
Yeah, and Verizon always throws in some weird Droid clock that's exclusive that they think is really cool. It's not really.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the mods for a second. There really is no like Moto Mod app. It's really just like attach and go. And removing them, I mean, I watched a video, but you just basically stuck a fingernail under there and popped it off. The reason I bring that up is with Project Aura. Remember at I.O., they were like, you have to go in and eject the modules and things like that. And with this, Motorola has basically said, nope, attach them. They work. Pop them off whenever you want, right? You don't have to eject them or do anything weird. Yeah.
Definitely no ejections happening. I mean, they really seem like just peripherals that you just attach and can just unattach. Like, there is no pairing or syncing that needs to be done between the two devices to get them to work or to unattach them. You really just, on a lot of them, you're able, there's like a slot on the bottom side where you can kind of stick a finger in and pry them up. On the shells, it's a little bit tougher because they kind of protect that area. But other than that, you just slap them on and go.
So Motorola basically just killed Project Aura.
And they killed G5 for sure. I mean, they haven't killed anything until they launch, and that may not be for another month or two or whatever. Like
2017, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, that's the downside here. I mean, they announced some cool stuff, got people excited. And then anyone that was possibly excited and may have wanted to buy this is probably moving away from it now already because, I mean, more phones are coming. We just launched the OnePlus 3. Now the Note 6 is coming, or Note 7. And then the Nexus phone is coming after that. I mean, there's other stuff coming down the road. So they're waiting way too long.
Yeah, Motorola, I mean, they screwed up with the launch for sure. Well, I talked about this in a post yesterday, but like I'm with you. Everything I saw and just getting your feedback, everything sounds really and looks really great. Like, I like the designs of the phone. They seem like really like they've done some really cool stuff to make these look unique. You know, the front has that giant chin where the fingerprint square is, which just looks kind of odd. But otherwise, the way they did modules looks great. The specs look great. I'm sure it's still that clean Android that we like. Who knows what updates will be like. But everything about it sounds really great and they look really great. And then, yeah, they announce a phone and they're like, yeah, it'll be here in a couple of months or something. And there's so, yeah, they have to go up against the next Note because it's going to launch at the same time, maybe even earlier. So they announced these last week, and Samsung, at least report today, said that they may announce the Note on August 2nd and basically make it available right away. And we may not see these Moto Z phones until the mid to late August for all we know, because they haven't really told us. And then the new Nexus phones are going to come in August because that's when Android N comes out, right? So you got Note 6 or 7, new Nexus phones, and then the iPhone 7 is coming probably in September. Isn't that usually when that comes, in September?
Oh, yeah, they're screwed.
So the fact that Motorola is going to wait and go up against that, like, I mean, good luck. And I don't get what the deal is. Like, you held these phones. Do they seem pretty polished?
They seem good to go.
Yeah, I mean, what do they need 2 months for? Like, sell the goddamn phones right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pre-orders, something.
Anything. Yeah, the fact that they couldn't even give us the pricing, it just seems really stupid. I wanted to touch on that. Pricing, I wanted to give a guess, a guesstimation, if you will, as for pricing. $599 for Moto Z. Moto Z Force, maybe $649, just because of the bigger battery and shatter shield. Like, that's an upsell or something. So $599, $649, that's like my guess. Even with the, because, I mean, sure, Moto mods are awesome, but then you have to pay for those separately anyway. So I can't imagine that, like, having the ability to use Moto mods would up the price at all. So I'm going to stick to $599, $649.
Yeah, I don't think these are going to be like inexpensive. You know, like the G5 was around $500-ish, I think. Right. I think these are going to be $650. It could be $657 for the two. Yeah, I don't think they're going to be outrageously priced, but they're not going to be inexpensive either. These aren't going to be cheap. I mean, they're on Verizon, and when it's a flagship, they want it priced high.
Got to make some money.
But speaking of pricing, we did get pricing on some of the mods.
Oh, yeah.
So if you went in the My Verizon app, and I did this while I was on vacation, actually, to confirm. And the Pico projector, these could change, right? We got a couple months. But Verizon, in the My Verizon app, they actually were listing prices for these things. And so the JBL speaker module was listed at $80. The Pico projector was $300. And then some of the designer power packs were $90 and $100, which is expensive. That's expensive.
Yeah, there was like a Kate Spade case for $70 or something. I was like, oh,
yeah. God. I think doubled as a power pack, but still. We don't know about the style shells, right? Yeah, I don't think we've seen pricing for those.
Yeah, haven't seen the style shells.
I'm guessing those things are going to be like $40-$50 a piece. If these things are, if a power pack is $90 from Tumi, I mean, you're obviously paying for the brand there. Yeah, I mean, hopefully those style shells are like $20 and $30. It'd be sweet if you just swap that stuff all the time, but
yeah, I mean, they don't do anything. Yeah, so there was another thing. Oh, they talked about third-party developer support. This was a question, or not really, but it was more like a comment on the YouTube page. So they announced on stage that they are going to open this up to third-party developers. They do have, HDKs, hardware development kits. So developers can get this stuff early into their hands and start building other cool Moto mods, you know, for consumers to get. You know, I had the same beef with LG, and LG did it after they launched the phone. They opened up HDKs and SDKs for the friends. Stupid. And it's way too late. The phone needs to launch with a ton of mods, modules, to really draw, I think, excitement. LG screwed up even worse because they apparently couldn't even get two or three mods together, while Motorola at least has a lineup. So Motorola definitely showing LG how to do it, which is just crazy to even think about. Like, LG was so high and mighty here only a year, 2 years ago. Now they've fallen. But, to answer your question, yes, developers will hopefully get on board and bring more experiences for Moto mods. You know, like, if I got diabetes, I want a Moto mod where I can just put my finger on there. Maybe it takes a prick, tells me about my blood. That would be nice. Or anything like that, really. So,
yeah, I mean, Motorola's got, they've got the projector, the speaker, and battery packs, and they've worked with designers and big companies, and then they also have all those style shell things. They've got a full lineup, and we also think they're still going to come out with the full camera add-on, and I think there was something else too that the guys at Hello Moto HK posted recently, but I think there's even more lined up. They just probably weren't ready to be shown off yet. So when this thing launches, Motorola may have six, seven different ones that add some functionality, and then plus the style shell. So yeah, they're definitely doing it much better than LG. It's funny that you mentioned that with LG, that they couldn't even launch two or three, and they couldn't. The only one you can buy in the US still is that camera grip thing. That's it.
Right. Well, they announced multiple, but then they took it back and said, nope, America doesn't get the cool ones that people actually want. Sorry. Well, I don't know if really anyone wanted any of them, but
I don't think so. No. Huh. So yeah, it's unfortunate that they didn't announce pricing or availability, because they're cool. And I think, like, these are phones that, you know, could be really exciting if you get it in your hands, play with the modules, could be a really, they could have been a really big thing for Motorola, but I don't see how these are going to take away from the Note. And then from nerds like us that like Nexus phones, you know, we're going to choose Android N and a new Nexus over, you know, some modules and some old ass software that's never going to get updated. You know what I mean? And then if you're an iPhone user, why are you going to switch to this when the iPhone 7 is coming out like 3 weeks later?
I mean, if you're an iPhone user, I don't think any of the, you're not even listening to this. So,
but you know what I mean? Like Motorola's going, look, switch to our phone. We got, you know, modules and you can add on all this cool stuff, you know? And you know, it's just stupid. It's just the fact that they're waiting so long is stupid.
A lot of these brands kind of have that built-in audience of people who have been Moto fans for a long time. Luckily, you and I, like, we're fans of just smartphones in general. We're not brand loyal at all. Right. If you do something stupid, we're going to call you out on it. Right. But I had a friend who was a Moto maker, who was just like, he's a Motorola fanboy. And he seemed super stoked about everything. And rightfully sure, he might be a little bummed that you know, the phones aren't launching immediately, but nothing else is even on his radar because the Moto Z is it. Like, that's it for him.
And yeah, the problem is there's not very many of them left.
Yeah, like right? Guy,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, probably six times as many Note fans that are waiting for the Note 6 or 7 than there are anyone that cares about Motorola.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Note 6 or Note 7, whatever the heck it's going to be called, the next Note, it's starting to sound pretty cool. So.
It's going to be a big deal, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's already a big deal.
Yeah. But, you know, the Moto thing, the exclusivity, I think, is just what kills it for me.
I would agree.
Because everyone on every other carrier can't buy this phone. So, I mean, we asked, we ran a poll and we said, are you buying any of these phones? And 75% of our readers said no.
Yeah. Well, I think the same could be said for the Galaxy Active line. You know, I mean, only being available on AT&T sort of kills any want for it by anyone else who's not on AT&T.
But think about that, though. That's a little niche product that Samsung makes.
What?
Only ever been on that carrier ever, right? I mean, everyone knows the Active. It's like this, it's the rugged phone. It's for people that want a tough phone. And it's like this small little group of people. And that's why they make it. And it's exclusive. And yeah, but who cares? They don't expect, I don't think, to sell like 10 million. Motorola needs to sell like 50 million of these things. And then they attach it to one carrier. It's just such a stupid move on their part. I mean, I hope Verizon just pays them like $500 million for this every year to get this exclusive. And they probably don't.
Yeah.
Bad, bad news. In sort of also related news, we got news on the Moto X and whether it's dead or not.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just assumed it was dead, but apparently Motorola says, no, the Moto X line is alive and well. I mean, they're full of shit, right? There's not going to be a new Moto X. Why is there going to be a new Moto X?
Apparently there is a new Moto X. I saw a model number going around today, XT1 something, something, something. And apparently that's the new Moto X.
Like, why do we need a new Moto X? So is Moto X just going to be sold as an unlocked phone with no modules and stuff? Absolutely. And it'll just look like the Moto G? Like the Moto X will be the unlocked one that's sold on Amazon or something? I guess they could do that, but who cares? Like the point is you grew up into the Moto Z with modules and all that. Why do we need a new Moto X?
Yeah, I mean, there was a report earlier that was contrary to what Motorola said. It said Moto Z will replace Moto X.
Yeah.
And then Moto came out and said, no, Moto Z is alive and well, which, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily Moto think X. That Moto has any Moto X plans laying around. I don't see why they would. It seems like a waste of money, right? I mean, you need to put your eggs in one basket and hope that even sells. You know, they've definitely invested quite a bit with these Moto mods, and you know, it's not cheap to R&D all that stuff. So,
no.
And Ashton Kutcher, come on, man.
Speaking of Ashton Kutcher, there's just one other thing that I thought was hilarious because I was able to watch some of the live stream, and there was that point where he was supposed to come out to show Shattershield, and he was supposed to drop it off of the stage onto the thing, and the dude just wasn't there. Like, they were trying to do this like funny intro, and he was supposed to show up, and everyone's just go, "Oh, Ashton's here! How cool!" And the guy asks for the special guest to come out on stage, and he just doesn't show up. Like, you had one job basically.
It was awesome,
and he just shows up like 2 minutes later, and then goes, "Oh, hey," and drops it and leaves. It was the worst. It was a pretty bad performance all around.
I thought it was pretty great. I was laughing the whole time. I was thoroughly entertained.
You're laughing at them, though, not with them. Yes,
not with them. I'm so blessed to always be in attendance when things go the worst, like on stage. Like, we were there for the Michael Bay blow up, which was the best.
You were there for J-Lo.
I was there for J-Lo and her ridiculousness. Oh, dude. I've seen some stuff.
All right. So in other sort of related news then, though, Lenovo also announced the Fab 2 Pro, which is this giant ass 6.3-inch first Tango phone. Am I just a bad nerd in admitting that I do not care 1 second about this phone?
Nah, dude, I'm right there with you. We've had the opportunity to buy Tango for a long time, and not just you. I mean, like, we as an Android community, right? If you wanted Tango, you could buy a Project Tango tablet on Google Play. For quite some time, yes, it was running like a Tegra processor, and yes, it was like $1,000, but you had the opportunity. You could if you wanted. But
so this phone, 6.4-inch quad HD, it has a Snapdragon 652. So they didn't even put a high-end processor in it.
That's a hexa-core, right?
Yes, who knows, something like that. It has 4 gig RAM, 64 storage. It has a big 4,000 milliamp hour battery, fingerprint reader, Dolby sound. And then, of course, all the cameras to do the augmented reality stuff.
Right. So I did a nice little hands-on video of this thing, but I decided against posting it because the software was so bad that I said, you know what? I'm not even going to put them through this because I would just be smashing the software in like the write-up of my first impressions. So, like, the implementation is very cool. You open up the camera, and then just like on any other phone, you can select a camera mode, and there's a specified AR mode. So you type AR, or not type, but press AR. And then on the unit that I had, there was like a bouquet of flowers that just kept going meow, 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 across the screen, and I couldn't get it to stop. I tried clicking everything. I even talked to someone. I was like, hey, how do I stop it? And they're like, oh, you must have a defunct unit or something. I was like, I'm over it, because there was lines for everything. So the unit I had was totally busted. And so I couldn't even use the AR mode, but I was filming it during that time, and it popped up with this bouquet just going spinning. It was like a 60 cycle hum effect. It was just spinning around and around. It was terrible. I'm hoping it launches with something a bit better.
So it's coming in September, and it's only $499, which is actually a pretty good price for all. I mean, all those cameras and all the investment you probably made in this thing. It's a tablet. Yeah. And I guess I'm trying to think of my life with the phone that does AR stuff. How often do I need to map out my house with furniture? I don't buy furniture.
Not often. All the time.
And then how often am I going to want to hold a giant phone up like this and like play a game in my living room or at a park? Like, I don't want to do that, really.
You won't, but your kids would, right? So they were showing off the dominoes game you could do, and you could put a dinosaur in your room, a living, breathing T-Rex. I thought it was cool. Like, the kid in me was like, dude, I would love that. I mean, of course I didn't get to use it at all because mine was janky, but the idea, the implementations they had, or the use cases, I thought were pretty cool, pretty neat.
So it could be a good kid phone.
That's the way I look at it. I mean, almost, I think it was 2 out of 3 of the videos that Google showed off for Project Tango involved kids and like what kids could do with it. So it's like really an imagining. Cool
in classroom tool, things like that, good for kids. I could see that. It's just not a phone that I care about, but I could see that.
Yeah. But not only that, like, I mean, going beyond just general consumer like you and I, but say like a general contractor who's going to work sites and stuff, you need to measuring out a space, or, someone like Chip and Joanne on HGTV, they want to see what, I know. Yes, Chip. So they definitely want to see probably what furniture looks like in a place, So like you said, for whatever other phone we were talking about, Galaxy S7 Active niche. Even though it may not be like a small number of people, it's definitely a select group of people. And those are the type of people who will love Tango. You know, the ability to measure things without actually doing anything. Very cool. My only beef is that the phone was way too big. Like, you put Project Tango stuff in a Galaxy S7, then we're talking. I can't even put 6.4-inch phone in my pocket, even my back pocket. It's just not going to happen. And I'm not carrying around a little backpack, a fanny bag, or anything, a satchel. It's not going to happen. Sorry, yeah. Dude.
And I mean, they're going to sell this thing at Lowe's. So obviously they're targeting right. That kind of demographic.
Got it.
Well. So yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that when I saw, and we've seen like him tease it and talk about it for a while, it just doesn't interest me at all, because it seems like more of a tool, and I'm more on the consumer side. But you know, it could be a thing, like maybe classrooms, kids stuff, kids learning things, and then obviously work situations like you just mentioned. But as an everyday guy, I don't want to carry around a 6.4-inch tablet phone and play AR games in public. That just sounds weird. But
yeah, the general vibe I'm getting from our chat that's live currently on YouTube, no to Tango. Vote no Tango 2016. So
yeah, all right, so that's Tango. All right, so that was Moto Z Force. Yeah, we talked about it for 40 minutes almost. Anything else there that we missed?
No. I mean, they're not available, no pricing. We'll see you in a couple months.
Yeah. All right. So this week, OnePlus held their event in VR and announced the OnePlus 3. So OnePlus 3, actually both the Moto stuff and the OnePlus 3, not a ton of leaks about these. I mean, we've started to see some more pictures of the OnePlus 3 leading up, but and like zero hype from OnePlus, which has been refreshing. But so they announced the phone on Tuesday, again, in their little VR loop thing. And I noticed you're not seizing any longer after watching that. So that's good. So they announced that and made it available immediately. You could buy it in the VR store. And then two hours later,
I'll touch on that.
Buy it in the VR store.
Yeah.
And then a couple hours later, they let you just buy it through their website. And I mean, it's shipped. You and I each ordered one, and I think we should have them tomorrow. So that's awesome.
That's the also, way you do it.
Yeah. I mean, they also pretty much spec this thing out. It doesn't have a quad HD display. Other than that, I don't think they missed anything. You know, they didn't really try to do any gimmicks. They didn't leave out NFC. You know, it's not waterproof or anything like that. But for the most part, and you know, they went with an AMOLED display, which is awesome. But they went 6 gig RAM, got OS and the camera. The camera seems fast. I've got one here. We'll talk about that in a second. It's all metal for people that like metal phones, fingerprint reader. They've got their own version of fast charging, which is kind of annoying, by the way, that they have their own version. Yeah, I mean, it's running a Snapdragon 820, but crazy thin. It's 7.35 millimeters. And then the price is $399. It's a GSM only phone, so Verizon is for people who are out of luck there, but the rest of the world and anyone on AT&T T-Mobile can use this thing, and they can get it now. OnePlus didn't announce it and say you can get it in 2 months. There's no invite system. You could just buy their brand new phone right now, and you could get in a couple of days. Like I think we both paid for the expedited shipping, which was only like $9 or something. So you can pay $399 and get it with free shipping and have it probably in a week and a half or something, or you can expedite the thing and get it in like 2 days. I honestly couldn't think of a better way to launch a phone than here's our new phone. It's really good. You can buy it right now and you'll have it in a couple of days.
Yeah, it's pretty innovative.
Yeah.
Bold strategy there.
Yeah, right. Groundbreaking stuff here.
Yeah. So I wanted to touch quickly on Carl Pei and OnePlus declaring that they had launched the world's first online shopping experience. F off, you know,
in VR.
In VR, right. What, I don't know what I said. Anyway.
You said online shopping.
Yeah, online shopping experience in VR, .. It was awful. It wasn't even a shopping experience. First of all, so the way it worked is you had to unlock 3 badges while exploring the loop, which was their VR office. I'm sorry, I'm like having trouble not laughing right now. So you go in, you start on Earth. You press a button. Thankfully, I was able to get one of the 30,000 Loop VR headsets that they were giving away. I ordered it as soon as that thing went live, and I had it. I used my Galaxy S7 Edge. I just stuck it in, and it worked. And so you press a button, and up to space you go. And then all of a sudden, a hologram Carl Pei meets you, and that was hysterical. He was hysterical. So he's announced, and then he says, go take a tour. So I'm taking a tour. There was like three different departments you have to go. There was a design studio, one that talked about the charging, one talked about the camera and design, blah, blah, blah. So there was one, and I think it was like the dash charging or like the refresh lounge. Straight up, like I was going in epilepsy. It was so bad. There was this stuttering, flickering light motion going on. And immediately I had to take the headset off and start breathing because I locked up, dude. It was bad. And so I tweeted out from the Droid Life account. I was like, thanks a lot, OnePlus. You just made me blind. And thankfully, I wasn't the only person who experienced that bug. Someone else did, too. And it was so bad and terrible. Luckily, I was able to get out of that room. But as soon as you enter one of these rooms, you got the badge. You didn't have to stick around and listen to the dumb holograms talking about whatever it is they were talking about. So once you get the holograms, go up to the observation deck, and who else than Carl Pei in hologram form meets you yet again and says, all right, you can buy the phone now. And I'm like, all right, let's try out this in VR shopping experience. So you go, and then you click a little button, and then it actually asks you to go out of VR, take your phone out, and then input your email address. So I was like, okay, put my email address in, and it says, all right, we'll send you a link for you to finish up your shopping online. And I was like, what? Like, that's
so you didn't even get to buy it by like looking and pointing.
Yeah, exactly.
You had to just, you just got an email.
Yeah, you just get an email with a token ID. And so there was no real shopping, no purchasing, no transactions taking place in VR. Yet OnePlus was content in calling it the world's first VR shopping experience. And I just thought that was total BS. So really, you didn't even have to do the whole VR thing. It was totally dumb. I thought the quality was sort of piss poor. Excuse me. I didn't think it was very good. The motion capture was sort of bad. Everything just looked super computer generated. It wasn't all that fun. So Carl looked awesome in VR. He looked like Yoda or Obi-Wan after they die, right? It looked like a blue.
When he's all zen-like. Like when Carl talks, he's always like, hey guys, I'm Carl. I mean, it doesn't really sound like that, but it's always like really smooth and slow. Exactly. He's never really excited.
He's well-spoken, but not a lot of emotion going on with the whole voice. Like even when he's talking about an exciting new smartphone, he's very calm, very zen. Yeah.
Yes,
so good on Carl. I love Carl, don't get me wrong. I just think seeing him as a hologram is over the top ridiculous. Come on, dude. Like, I would think that's so awesome, right? Yeah, there's a hologram of me. It's pretty awesome, but anyway, so that was the VR shopping experience. But like you said, the way they launched this phone is exactly how it's supposed to be done.
Yes.
You announce it, you sell it, get it over with. Done. Period.
So we have one. So here is this guy. It's not super huge, but it's definitely a larger phone, a 5.5 inch with a good chin bezel. I've been using this phone for a full day now, and I mean, I don't really have any complaints about it. I feel like OnePlus did. I mean, other than the fact that it looks like an HTC One M9, like it looks like the One M9. It's got the square camera.
Yeah,
it's what it looks like. But it's super thin. Feels good in hand. Performance is fine. You know, it's got their own fast charging and thing. You know, it's definitely got that iPhone bottom going on. But the headphone jack's down there, which I like.
That's wrong, dude. It's actually got the Huawei P9 bottom. I mean, it's the exact same. I don't know if you knew that, but 3.5 millimeter USB and then single speaker. It's identical.
I sort of yesterday when I was trying to describe to you, I kind of said it's like a mix between the one or the HTC 10 and the Huawei P9 because it's thinner and sort of softer feeling and better feeling in hand like the P9. But looks like the HTC 10. Because the HTC 10, by the way, I don't like that phone in hand at all. It just feels clunky and metally, and I don't like it. This phone feels like the P9, really soft and nice in hand. Anyway, it's got like, I don't think I can show this. Oh yeah, there you go. So it's got like it's got the proximity thing where you can wave over it to turn the screen on, and it's got ambient display. Yeah, so look at that. And it's got ambient display. It's basically stock Android for the most part. This is actually a Google Now launcher, but their launcher is pretty much the same.
Identical.
It just has that really stupid shelf thing instead of Google
Disable.
Now. Oh, yeah, I did right away. But, you know, like the UI is basically stock Android, but then they've added in some other customizations, like you can use icon packs, and there's a night mode, and you can flip to invert colors. It is so far a really, oh, it's dual SIM too. Like, I'm tempted to throw both AT&T and T-Mobile SIMs in here and just party with it.
Yeah, don't call me crazy, but I mean, for $400, this phone, I'm so tempted as to like preemptively call it phone of the year. I mean, it's the full package, 826 gigs. Hopefully it's a decent camera. I mean, sure, it's 1080p display, but that's going to help battery life and performance. You don't have to have that CPU and GPU like pushing tons of frame rate. I think this could be a really good phone. So I'm excited about it. It's the first OnePlus phone I'm actually genuinely totally excited about.
Yeah. Battery life yesterday wasn't amazing. It's first day. You never really know what you're going to get first day. Right. It wasn't
3,000 milliamp hour battery.
Yeah. 3,000 milliamp hour battery. Somebody asked, no SD card. But it does have 64 gig storage, which is quite a bit of storage. It's got one of those displays. You sort of mentioned this about Shatter Shield and how the floating up next to the display, and it's impossible to tell, but this phone, the display looks like it's floating at the top. And the viewing angles, like you can actually kind of see that. The viewing angles on this thing are nuts. They're so good. So the display seems great so far. The camera's really fast. I haven't really had a chance to go take a bunch of pictures of anything yet, but it seems pretty fast. And like OnePlus gives you all these ways to launch the camera. So like they do the gesture thing where you can draw a circle and that launches the camera. But they also tossed in the double tap on the power button to launch it. And then when you're just in the UI anywhere, you can set it up to double tap the home button and that launches it. So like they give you all these little subtle tweaks you can do to make the experience that much better. So, and then of course they have the silence slider over here on the side, which is nice.
I love the alert slider.
I just don't like, it's one of those phones I don't have any complaints about. Like you just said, $400, you can buy it now, works on T-Mobile and AT&T. It has dual SIMs if you want, but it's got all the specs right. I mean, like 1080p is whatever it is. I don't like the Quad HD 1080p jump. I never cared that much about. I don't know, dude. It seems to kind of get everything right.
What do you think about the placement itself of the fingerprint reader?
Is it
a little too low on the chin, or is it like right in the middle?
No, one of the nice things about it, it's fairly big. It's got a good roundness to it, so you can get your finger on there really easy, and it's pretty fast, and it reads really well. But I think because it has that extra surface area, like you just kind of throw a finger on there, and it seems to unlock. I mean, it's not water resistant at all, which kind of sucks, but there are a few phones that are.
I feel like we need to do a post that says, no, the OnePlus 3 will not work on Verizon. Because that seems like the number one question people continue to ask.
I think we asked that when the OnePlus 1 launched, too. Because everyone's like, does it work?
Yeah. I'm sorry, but no, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
Yeah. But like you said, it's definitely up there, I think, in consideration already for one of the phones of the year. Just because the price is so great.
Yeah.
That will obviously change when Nexus phones come out. Because
that's true.
You know, we could get one at like $500 that kind of trumps. Although I don't know how Nexus phone's really going to trump this. It'll just have a Quad HD display.
Oh, it has like special features or whatever that.
That's true.
Yeah. Someone asked, or not really asked, but mentioned perhaps the next OnePlus X will be about 5 inches. And I've heard through the grapevine that there is no new OnePlus X, that the first OnePlus X was the only OnePlus X.
Yeah, so they either announced that or said to somebody on Twitter or something that, they're not making another one.
Yeah, so don't get your hopes up for a new one.
Yeah, so this is the only one. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of a large phone, but you know, we're all kind of used to these. Like if you've held a S7 Edge, it kind of feels about that size. I mean, here it is. Like here it is next to the HTC 10. So, I mean, it has a
taller
display that's half an inch. Yeah, so it's a little bit taller, but it's got a bigger display, so that makes sense. Here it is next to the regular S7. Which in that sense is borderline small at this point, which is kind of
right.
I mean, so far, like I really, really, really like this phone just because it's clean. It's simple. They didn't try to overdo it with anything.
Just works. It's magic.
It just works. It's such a magic idea. And yeah, it has a night mode where it turns the like screen, all that sort of amberish color. So it's easier on your eyes. You can invert color, whatever. I don't know. I flipped it to on-screen buttons, but you can do capacitive style if you want. Like, this is what HTC should have done with the 10.
Pretty much.
On screen. So
those wallpapers, though, easily the greatest feature of that phone, the wallpapers. I've got a dual monitor set up. I've got one of the wallpapers here. I got one of the wallpapers over there. I love them. They look great. We got them from the creator. He posted them online. They're 4K resolution. God, they're gorgeous. So much detail.
Yeah, they're definitely pretty nice.
Yeah.
We did ask everyone if they were going to buy this phone, and 66% said no. That's at least higher than the Moto Z.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are just waiting for Nexus phones at this point, and the Note.
I think a lot of people are haters. I swear, like that morning on Tuesday when I said, here's how you watch Moto or OnePlus 3 launch, people were like, I'm so over OnePlus. And then by the end of the day, oh my God, the OnePlus 3 is the greatest phone ever. I'm like, dude, what?
So. There was a batch of early reviews that came out on the day it was announced. And I think almost every single one said, this is a really great phone. I think most people said that. And I've only had it for a day, but I could see how they got there. It seems like a really great phone it seems like a really great phone anyway. And then you toss in the fact that it's $399, which is a pretty damn good price.
No invite.
And no invite. And you can buy it like today. It was just crazy. Like you said, you bought yours through the Loop shortcut.
Yeah.
And then 2 hours later, like, I was on my way back from Canada to the US. Like I was on a ferry, like ordering at the bottom of a boat, and no hiccups, no crashing. It just ordered the thing. And then we both got shipping notifications right away. And they said it could process for 2 to 3 days. It basically took them 12 hours, I think, to process. Shipped, it'll be here tomorrow. Like I don't know how it could have gone any better. So I hope they, for OnePlus's sake, for all of our sake, actually, they sell like 15 million of these things because they launched it the way everyone should launch phones.
They did it.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people who went to the pop-up shops, there was only one in the US, which I'm super bummed about. Like if there was one down in San Francisco, I probably would have just gone to it. Mm-hmm. Everyone who went and bought the phone, they also got a free t-shirt, like 5 pages worth of free OnePlus stickers. They've got little tote bags that have OnePlus on them. OnePlus was really balled out of control for this, and there was people lined up around the block for this phone. There was a ton of people. Really cool. Carl was at the New York event, and there was other events. I think there was like 3 in India alone, and there was one in must have been Paris.
I think there was one in Paris. I think they went to Germany and maybe London as well or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the one in New York, I was told that it was sponsored by Magnum Ice Cream. It was like held at an ice cream shop or something. So everyone got free ice cream too. Like, come on, that's dude. Cool. That's awesome.
How do you beat that?
Yeah. Yeah. They really should have held one in San Francisco. That would have been great.
That would have been sweet. So they also are selling cases. So the only version you can buy right now is the silver one. And there's going to be a gold version maybe later. And so no sandstone. So for the sandstone people, they're selling these really, really thin cases. And I didn't look how much these were. They just sent me a bunch in our review unit package. And so they're crazy thin, and you just snap them on and then you have sandstone. And they're actually pretty thin. Like you could, because the phone's so thin, you could throw these on and experience sandstone. Probably look at these later in a video or something. But yeah, I mean, I don't really have any complaints other than it would have been nice if they could have gotten it to work on Verizon or Sprint. But like a company like OnePlus doesn't want to spend the time and money that it takes to get certified on Verizon. It's just not worth it, I don't think. I mean, it's from everything we've read over the years, it sounds like hell to get your phone ready to work on Verizon. Here's some other cases. So they have like bamboo and wood and carbon fiber. Whatever. Good job, OnePlus. That's all I can say. Good job, OnePlus. You're muted, by the way. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I knew. Maybe I didn't.
Yeah. Good job, OnePlus.
Hey, good job. That's all I said. I said, good job, OnePlus. I said that was a lot of cases.
Yeah, it was a lot of cases. Yeah, I mean, OnePlus had a pretty rough year last year. The OnePlus 2, they screwed up with no NFC and other shortcuts. And the OnePlus X not coming to the US at all. They kind of had a weird year last year, so this could be a little comeback.
Yeah. The Pine Cone over on YouTube asks, do you think OnePlus would ever be given the opportunity to make a Nexus device? Nope.
Yeah, I don't really. I think they're too small of a company. I don't think Google.
Trust them.
Maybe in like 5 years, maybe they'll be really big and Google would do that. I mean, I guess Google could, but I don't. Like OnePlus makes one phone a year, basically. I don't. And sells, you know, 2 million of them. I don't think they have probably the resources to get behind a Nexus phone while making their own phones. I just think they're too small of a company.
At this time.
Mm-hmm.
So no.
So yeah. No, I mean, I get why not everyone's flocking to buy it. It's not like it's a $200 phone, still a $400 phone, but I don't think you can go wrong with it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So in other Android related news, Android N developer preview 4 available this week. And if you have a Nexus 5X, 6, 6P, 9, Pixel C, player, some random Android One phone, OTA is up available right now. If you want to flash it, there's files, whatever. Google just posts all this stuff right away. It's pretty awesome. It is, it's not a huge update. Like the last preview 3 was a pretty big one at IO. This one really just seems like they're tweaking things on the back end, maybe trying to stabilize everything, fixing bugs, and they're still breaking other stuff. So, I think they're still calling it a beta. So I think you're fine flashing it, but I think Android Pay is broken again, even though it was fixed in the last one. I think it's broken. There's just some other issues. So, it's out though. There's not really anything new that we've noticed. Little tiny tweaks here and there.
It's a new Easter egg, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So new Easter egg on the end, they wrote, naming McName Face, which is not, yeah, which is not the, which is definitely not the name of Android N, but it's pretty funny.
It's a good little troll.
Yeah, it is a good little Google troll. So, yeah, we still don't know the name, although we're supposed to find out really soon. I mean, they said on Twitter, like I think the official Android account or something said, you'll know in just a few weeks. That was a week ago. So maybe in a couple weeks we'll know. I would guess with the July, because I think the July is the final preview. So maybe like mid-July we'll know the name.
Mm-hmm.
But like all the APIs are final now. You can publish apps with support for them and all that stuff now if you're a developer. So we're getting closer.
We're getting close. I mean, yeah, I flashed it on the 6P and I wasn't really noticing anything all too crazy. Yeah, and I mean, call me crazy. I guess the UI just still hasn't grown on me necessarily. Like it's cool. There's a lot of cool things like
notifications and stuff.
Yeah, like notifications. A lot of the inline, you know, actions you can do are cool. It's just like the pull down tray and like the settings menu hasn't necessarily grown on me yet.
Yeah, in terms of just UI, I don't like the. Let me see here. Let me clear off all my damn notifications. I don't like the that little mini shortcut look, and this animation is real.
Oh,
this animation,
how it twists,
is so janky. That is not cool. I know, like, there's probably UI people are like, look how it just floats into place. It's so cool. I think it looks nerds. So stupid. Yeah, I just don't think that's a good animation. But what
agree.
Do I know?
Yeah, what do you know? You're not a designer.
So I was thinking about this. This is kind of an off subject, but related. This morning, I was like on a run, and I talked to myself when I run, and so Google does this thing. This is just sort of the unfortunate situation that is Android and updates, right? Google releases an update, or they're doing this beta program now, right? So all the Nexus nerds like us, we start with like the alphas and the betas, and we're testing, and we think it's all cool. And then you get to like the day it goes stable and it's stable. And then you update and you go, huh, well, what's new? Like we've been playing with this stuff for 6 months, right? And that's only Nexus users because Samsung's Galaxy S7 and the new Notes and all these other phones, like when that day hits, they don't get the update. They still have to then wait for their crappy phone manufacturer to slowly roll out an update. And so then they don't get any of the fun. And like Nexus users, you get there and then it's kind of underwhelming because you've already had the update. But like with iOS users, this is one of the bonuses there, right? Like they have beta program now, so you can try the beta and if you want to, and you get to the end and then they release it stable and it is what it is. But everyone else that owns an iPhone that hasn't been on the betas and all that stuff, all of a sudden, boom, you get this notification, you get iOS 10, and you're like, oh my God, all this new cool stuff. And every single one of them gets to do that. And on Android, like it leads up and the Nexus phone owners get it, which there are like 200 of. And then everyone else goes, wah, wah. And then they just start, and then the whining starts. When am I going to get the update? When it's just such a different thing, and it's kind of sad. I wish there was a way Google could fix it, but I just don't know that they can.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, especially if we're talking like, you know, with the skins and all that stuff. I mean, companies just aren't on. Unless they said, well, maybe they'll just ditch skins and everyone can try vanilla. And then, yeah, it's not
happening. That's not happening. So it's just kind of sad. I was just thinking, I was like, yeah, we got this new preview and it's so cool. And then when we get to the day it launches, no one gets to experience it but the Nexus owners who have already been experiencing it.
Yeah, and who they're just jaded by then. They're like, oh, it's not even anything like cool or new. Oh, namey McName phase. Yeah. How innovative. I
mean, that's going to be the big thing, is the rush to be like, oh, here's the new Easter egg. Namey McName. Oh,
my God. That was really the only announcement to come from it. It went DP4 available, second post, namey McName phase.
That was
and then that was it.
That was it, yeah.
So developer preview 4 is a total bust.
Well, and Google's changed it, right? Because it used to be our job was we post it, tell you what's new, wait till the factory images are posted, wait till the OTA URLs get like copied and pasted from ADB logs and all this crap. And now Google's like, no, here's the factory images. Here's all the OTA files now. Like none of you press have to do any work anymore. Just send us to, just send everyone to our site. We'll take care of them.
Yeah. Pretty ridiculous.
So anyway, Android DP4, we should get DP5 in July and then August should be
launch.
It. Yeah. And then we should get new Nexus phones. Oh, August gets fun. New Note and Nexus phones all in August.
It's blowing my mind.
It's going to be awesome. All right. So in other news, WWDC was on Monday and I missed it because I was gone and you held the live chat. All I got from it is that iOS 10 is maybe more so than any other release is just a whole bunch of Android features.
One could see it that way.
And iMessage basically became Google's Allo, and Allo is obviously not out, so I guess Apple's maybe getting there first, but iMessage became Allo, and then they introduced like lift your phone to make it automatically turn on, which is, you know, ambient display, Moto display, that's been there forever. What else did, oh, they copied Google Photos now, right? Yep. And then they opened APIs to Siri, which is actually a pretty big deal because Google Now is not open to developers. They did stickers. What else did they do? They did reservation stuff in Maps. They did a home app. Yeah, Raise to Wake. That's so funny. They redid Apple Music.
There was a lot of really boring announcements. It really wasn't even all that funny, right? Like, you know, we usually do the snarky live blog and stuff, and like, and we did it, and there was we all had a lot of fun. There was a few hundred people in there just having a blast, but it just wasn't all that funny, you know, because they didn't mention Android a single time. They didn't bring up the phony stats and adoption rate numbers or anything. They didn't bring up anything funny. They just sort of kept, and it was almost more sad than funny. They kept announcing these things that I was mentioning that have been a part of, say, Google Maps or Hangouts and Google Photos for the longest time. They're like, oh, we have facial recognition inside of your photos now. I was like, what? Google Photos is recognizing landmarks. It's recognizing my dog. It automatically makes an album of Thor, my boxer, and I don't even ask it to.
So, right.
What are you doing, Apple?
You know what the coolest thing was that they did? Like, what? If you type out a whole message and then like it auto selects words that have emoji and
oh, can God.
Replace them with emoji.
Yeah, that was bad. You know, a lot of the iMessage stuff, it seemed cool, but iMessage, it looks completely bloated now, and I'm almost glad it's not coming to Android, because I don't want that messy, sticky thing on my OS. Unacceptable.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because that's like the real news, right? So like 2 days before, no, I think it was last week. I think it was right before I left for vacation. Some one outlet, and I apologize, I don't know who you are, but you were an Apple-based outlet, and I don't know if you're credible or not. I apologize. said that one source told them, single source, and they noted that single source said that Apple would announce iMessage on Android at WWDC, but if they don't, it'll come later this year. It was actually a pretty funny report. And the world ran with that. We ignored it because that's not enough to go on. And no, they did not announce iMessage for Android. And I think one of the executives or two of them told Walt Mossberg from The Verge that no, they don't have any plans right now to do that, because basically they want to have their messaging platform, which they think is the best, on iPhones, on Apple devices, so that you buy Apple and iPhone devices. Like, and that makes sense. That's what we all assumed why iMessage isn't coming over. So,
right.
Yeah. So no iMessage, folks. Not coming.
Yeah. I like how, oh my God, it just seems so over the top, right? Adding the special effects and jib jab. You can have jib jab in iMessage now, which is so 2009.
Like, and it'll autoplay YouTube videos if you paste them or something.
Yeah, and then what else was the other one? Like enlarging an emoji by holding on to it, kind of like what Allo does.
Yeah.
Like I don't need my emojis yelling at me now or anything like that. My mom already yells at me enough. I don't need emojis doing it too. But
yeah,
shut up, mom. But yeah,
iOS it's ridiculous.
iMessage. So I'm not sad. You know, I put a poll in the Scribble live chat that we were doing, and people were like, oh yeah, I want iMessage on Android. And then come to find out, they didn't announce it, and everyone was pretty upset about it.
Everyone wants it just because they want an app that they can just use with all of their iPhone friends, because we all have tons of iPhone friends, right? And so it would just make life easier, I think, is why we all want it. Because I don't know that we necessarily care what our messaging app is. We just want it to be one that works with all of our friends and family, right? In the end,
that's I want one messaging app to rule them all.
Right.
So that's it. And it works. Facebook Messenger is essentially the closest one, except every time that I have a friend who says, I'm over Facebook, I'm not using it anymore, you can hit me up on text. I'm like, what? Dude, you're going back in time? Like,
I just wish the text message would die so quickly.
Nah, just texting doesn't work.
So yeah, and then they also announced a new version of watchOS, and I've got to be honest here, I didn't even look into it, because watchOS originally was so terrible that I can't imagine they made it that much better. Although I've seen some headlines that say it maybe got a little simpler, better, but I just don't believe it. And then they renamed OS X or OS 10 to Mac OS, which makes is about sense. Time. And then they said Siri's coming to your computer, which I really do not care about at all. You know, my Google, like, you can go in your browser and do Google voice searches and things like that. I've never done that. So I can't imagine I'm going to start talking to Siri on here either. No, thanks.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
But they did some like universal copy and paste stuff, which they totally just copied and stole from Pushbullet and all the other apps. Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, there was really nothing too groundbreaking, innovative. I mean, there wasn't like a Siri Home, like a Google Home competitor now or anything like that.
Right.
There was really nothing crazy.
Yeah. New software, which is what WWDC is. And there was a tvOS update, I think, but whatever.
Right.
All right. Moving on, since we're going long here. All right. So T-Mobile Tuesdays were announced. I don't think we've done a show since then. So T-Mobile Tuesdays was part of Uncarrier 11, I think it was. And basically it's T-Mobile giving away free stuff every Tuesday. They have an app, and we are 2 weeks in, and both weeks have been loaded with problems. So last week, the app just wasn't working for anyone. It was just spinning and crashing, and no one could get it to work. And this week, I think that happened a little bit, but the big issue this week was Domino's basically said, we can't do this anymore. We can't keep up with all of these free pizzas. And Domino's quit on T-Mobile this week and said, no, we're suspending this promo indefinitely. Our stores can't keep up. This is going to hurt our brand because we can't keep up, and we're done. And so John Ledger had to say, yeah, we're ditching Domino's and we're doing Lyft and some other things. And we got other partners coming, so stay tuned. But yeah, 2 weeks in, and Domino's was like, we can't do this anymore.
We didn't see, you know, specific metrics or data on how many pizzas they were pushing out in any given Tuesday, but Ledger did specify that they were seeing 3 to 4 times as much traffic on a Tuesday,
yeah.
Which, I don't know, I had no problem redeeming the Tuesday before and then yesterday. I had no problem redeeming my Domino's. I mean, no one's even at the Domino's I go to because it's pretty much hidden location. It's not even on Google Maps, I think. So I'm super special and I have my own Domino's. But so I had no problem. But other people, like I have a friend, Dan, on Twitter, and he tweeted out his code because I was like, my Domino's won't even accept my code because apparently they're out of pizza.
Yeah, so some of the Domino's, they started limiting it on Tuesday, and then some of them just eventually just said, no, we just can't do it anymore.
Like, come on. And then, well, so I have another thing. I have sort of a beef with whoever the guy, the Pizza Hut or Domino's corporate sent out to franchise owners, I'm guessing. And they're like, you know, thank your employees for working so hard, manning the front lines. It's the most important thing. I was like, dude, the front lines? Like, they were having troubles making too many pizza. I just find that kind of just to be insulting, just to even the word like front lines. It's not a battle.
We're not military referencing Domino's here. You're not going to battle for anyone
exactly.
Other than your boss.
I could imagine that maybe some Domino's locations would be like a war, like people just screaming over the top of one another, like I want pepperoni or, you know, something like that. But my Domino's is anything but like a war zone. It's not the front lines of Iraq or anything like that.
It's not.
So I thought that was ridiculous. I just, come on, Domino's. It's one day a week. Make a little bit of extra cash. I'm sure T-Mobile is compensating. It's maybe what's the big deal?
Upper assistant manager that sent that note should have prepped for Tuesdays because, you know, Tuesdays is the day you're giving out millions of free pizzas. Maybe we should up inventory a little bit. You can't tell me they just were like, well, I guess we're now a part of this big promo. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. People are going to go Domino's is going to go back to being a ghost town now every day of the week instead of just 6 days a week, which is
screwed up Domino's.
Yeah. I don't see the big deal. People love pizza and this is America. You know, people want their somebody free food.
Up. Well, see, this is the thing though. One of their competitors is going to use this opportunity to step up and go, we'll take all the business. I mean, like you said to me earlier, you were like, I was going in, getting my free pizza, and then I was buying a second one or whatever, which is probably what people do. Because like you said, also, a medium pizza is not that big. Might as well get two, spend a little money. So, you know, like Pizza Hut or somebody is going to step up now and go, we'll take your business, or Little Caesar or something.
I think it's Georgie says, Tim makes arguments like a kid that never worked in their life. Dude, I've had real jobs. Thankfully, I have never worked in like fast food or at a pizza shop or anything, but I'm telling you, it can't possibly be anything like the front lines of a war zone. And so for him to sort of make that like that reference just seems silly to me. That's all I'm saying. Like, God bless those who work at Domino's, and I hope they're all doing well after a lot of people came in on Tuesdays to get their free pizza, but get out of here. Come on.
Because, you know, what you and I are doing right now is not a real job.
This is not a real job. I mean, I've got sweatpants on, for God's sakes.
So anyway, that's T-Mobile Tuesday. So next week, no pizza. But the week after that, I'm telling you, somebody's going to step up and go, suck it, Domino's.
I hope so. That'd be nice. Hopefully it's not Round Table. That would be good. Yeah. I'd be cool with some free hamburgers, maybe from Burger King, like a free Whopper. That'd be cool.
Ledger, free BK for Tim.
That'd be good. but then to clarify, Wendy's Frosty, that's still a go. And then the Voodoo free rental, that is also still a go. It's just no more Domino's.
It's just movie and dessert now, not dinner and a movie.
R.I.P. Domino's. Yeah. Shout out to all the Domino's workers out there.
Whew. I mean, it sounds like they had a rough couple of Tuesdays. I mean, front lines, bullets flying at them.
Yeah, 2 days out of 2 weeks, and they quit. you know,
I mean, this is so many more jokes about this, but I'm not America right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to go political on this, but I could.
Poor Domino's.
Make Domino's great again. Anyway.
They really did quit after two weeks, and Domino's is like, just now.
Yeah, they're like, the employees clearly, they just are not being paid enough to make that many pizzas in any given hour.
That was the best line. It was, our brand cannot handle this.
I just think it's funny.
I think it's pretty funny. All right, other news, I have a Galaxy S7 active, and I will review this at some point, but since like 10 people can buy it, and you know, it's a nice phone, but the OnePlus 3 is a better phone than this, and so we'll be pushing this aside for a little while. It's got camo. All right, we'll wrap up. New app. I think we're both. Are you still using this app, Flamingo?
I had to go back to the standard Twitter app.
God, really? You already jumped back, huh?
You know, there's something about Flamingo, the UI, I didn't necessarily care for. It showed like retweet or like who retweeted something, I think, at the top of an individual tweet, and something about the layout just sort of bugged me, and I was over it. I was over it real quick.
All right, well, Tim quit, but I've been using Flamingo, this new Twitter app, and it's a pretty solid Twitter app. Customize it, multiple accounts, cool colors. It's a nice little app. If you don't like the stock Twitter app, or you don't want to use, I don't even know what the other ones are anymore, Phoenix, it's worth it. It's worth looking at. What is it, a buck, Flamingo?
I think it's
99 cents. It's worth it for a buck if you want something new. Otherwise, I don't have anything else.
Yeah, and just like Eric Ortiz in the YouTube channel states, Flamingo is getting plenty of updates. And that is true. While I did have it installed, it was updating like once a day, I thought. And so great developer support. I'm sure that'll last for at least 2 weeks and until they sell it to someone or Twitter shuts them down.
Until they go for Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, so enjoy Flamingo for a month.
Just looking to see how many. I mean, it got a lot of press. How many? Oh, Google Play must not be updating quickly the install number, because it says 5,000 to 10,000 is all. It's got to have more than that, don't you think?
It's possible. Yeah. I don't know how quickly that thing updates, but
people don't buy apps. I'm looking at AppRain now. I think AppRain is still around, isn't it? Look at that, AppRain does still exist.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I use it all the time.
Flamingo. It just says 5,000 plus. I don't know if it's pulling from Google then or what. Well, good for you, Flamingo. Yeah. Nice little app there.
I got people calling me a hypocrite because I quit Flamingo even sooner than 2 weeks, like Domino's quit T-Mobile Tuesdays. And I guess I am sort of a hypocrite. God, I'm sorry, bad. Flamingo.
Yeah, but your beef wasn't the fact that you couldn't like make enough tweets. It was like you just didn't like the UI.
Yeah, I just didn't like the UI. It wasn't that I was getting overwhelmed by anything.
I mean, when you're on the front lines of Twitter, you know, you got to have the right UI so you can, you know, send enough tweets out.
Exactly. I'm a web warrior, internet guy. I'm battle hardened, so I need good UI.
Yeah,
ridiculous. Someone asked, when is the OP3 Gold Edition coming out? We have no idea. They did not specify, which I thought was total BS. But yeah, so everyone has to buy graphite. I almost wanted to hold off for a minute, right? Because I didn't really want the graphite. I wanted that gold. But
yeah, I asked you, I was like, when is that coming out? And you said, it's not available. I asked you which color you bought because I was going to buy.
Right, the other one.
I have this like reviewer's guide. Look, we do actually. Here's some inside information. We actually do get things like this.
Nice reviewer's
guide. Some companies do these, not everyone.
Yeah,
and it doesn't ever tell you anything really cool. But I did see something on the color in here, and I don't think it's. I thought it just said later this year. Oh, soft gold is what it's called. All it says is graphite available at launch. Soft gold following shortly after. I have no idea what shortly after means.
Kyle, asks, "Hey Tim, what cans are you wearing?" And then I had no idea what the hell he was talking about. And then I realized headphones. Cans, headphones. And these are the Marshall Monitor headphones. Marshall, like the guitar amp company. I get that question actually quite a bit. Marshall Monitors, they're pretty good. I like them.
Sweet.
Yeah.
It's an official review.
Yeah. No, I actually wrote these up a long time ago for like an accessory roundup we did, and they were on there, and I'm still using them.
Yeah.
They haven't broken or anything. They are thin. They are. But they're good. They got some good drivers. I like them. A lot of bass. Hook these bad boys up to a smartphone, because I listen, they're great for rock music. So I listen to a lot of heavy metal, rock, even dubstep. The treble and the mids are high. It sounds great. It's great. Check them out. They're making headphones great again.
All right. We got anything else? That was a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I don't personally have an app to talk about. The newest app I downloaded was that VR Loop app from OnePlus, and it gave me epilepsy. So that's that.
I downloaded this app this blew my mind a little bit, being an American a-hole. I was in Victoria, BC for the last week, and I went to pay to park, and on their parking meter, it said, just download our app from Google Play and just keep paying and refilling your parking space all day long and not even come back to your car. Like, why can't we do that in the US? Oh, there's my son and nanny.
You would think that would be a thing, right? But no, it takes too much work, too much infrastructure, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Too busy paying for other stuff.
Well, and up there, you pay for parking and you don't have to go back to your car and put the ticket in the window like in every other damn city, I feel like. You just you just pay and go. And then you have a number assigned to you, and then you just keep paying for it wherever you're at. You don't have to run back to your car to put money in the thing.
Oh, Canada. Definitely moving to Canada because that sounds awesome. And I really wanted to touch real quickly on the VR Loop app. Shout out to everyone who got screwed. What was this, Tuesday? So on Tuesday, you download the VR app, but then once it hit 9:30 a.m., the app told you that it needed a 600 megabyte update. So say you're on your mobile network, right, getting ready to watch, and then you need to download over a half a gig of data to watch this VR thing. I thought that was really, really shiesty of OnePlus to do. I didn't like it, didn't appreciate it, and I just wanted to... OnePlus, you were doing so well, but that really pissed me off.
Sorry, Tim.
It's all right. Thank you. Anyway.
All right, let's wrap up.
All right.
So this is Joy Life Show episode 112. Thanks for joining us on a Thursday. Lots to talk about, so it was a good show. We will obviously not have a show tomorrow because we just did it today. We'll probably be back maybe next week, though. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for joining us, people.
Peace.